Father, we thank you for today. We bless your name for today. We thank you for your word that is mighty over our lives. We thank you for your word that has been proclaimed even through these sermons, through the church. We pray that even as we sit at your feet today, Father, strengthen us, bless us, transform us by your word and by your spirit. Let your name be glorified mightily. Let your name be glorified mightily in our lives. Let your name be glorified mightily in our decisions. And Father, sow seeds, even with regards to the word we hear today. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that we may understand, we may behold who we are in you, Jesus. That we may review your glory. In Jesus' mighty name have I prayed. Amen. God is good, and all the time. So, in the light of the series we are on the book of Lamentations. And Lamentations is in which of the Testament? The Old Testament. Amen. And today, our theme from the book of Lamentations is the God of hope. The God of hope. The God of hope. And our key verse is from Lamentations 3, verse 24. Lamentations 3, 24. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. In the earlier days, in the times of the Torah, when the Levitical order was strongly established, we saw that every time there was the distribution of property, the Levites would not inherit anything because it was highlighted the Lord is their portion. The beauty of the Lord being our portion is that the Lord is our gaze, the Lord is our priority, and the Lord is our glory. When we say the Lord is our portion, it means the Lord is all that we want and all that we need. That the Lord is sufficient, that the Lord is able to provide all that we ever need. So the beauty of the sufficiency, the beauty of the ability of God, is seen in him being our portion, where we prioritize him over everything. So here in Lamentations, we see the writer saying, the Lord is my portion. And mind you, those of us who were here from last week, we could see that Lamentations is a book of sorrow. Sorrow over the sin of the people of Judah. Sorrow over the sin of the people of Jerusalem. And how the Lord passed judgment even unto them. The judgment of the Lord was swift. The judgment of the Lord was fully established based on the repetition of their sins. So the Lord gave them over to their enemies. But then, in the middle of the book, in the middle of the book of Lamentations, Lamentations has how many chapters? How many chapters? 5 chapters. So in the middle of the book of Lamentation, we see a reassuring that even in the midst of terror, even in the midst of destruction, which was caused by your own disobedience, yet the faithfulness of God is sure. Yet the goodness of God is sure. And that the Lord is still able to deliver if you genuinely repent. So here again, the writer proclaims, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. In John chapter 10, verse 10, we see that the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the Lord has come so that we may have life and have life more abundantly. One of the key things the devil desires to steal in the life of a believer is your joy, your hope, and your vision. It's very important to understand that without joy, the Christian's life is full of pain. Without joy, the Christian's life is full of ungratefulness. Because the beauty and strength of the believer, what causes the believer to march on is joy. So in the book of Nehemiah, the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now coming to hope, patience with others is love. Patience with yourself is hope. Patience with God is believing His promises. When we talk about hope, it's knowing that the word of God is sure and will come to pass. When we talk about hope, it's knowing that He whom you have trusted on, He is faithful and He is able to do exactly what He has promised to do. So when the writer says, therefore I will hope in Him, it means there is a pronunciation, there is a full proclamation of the character, identity, and word of God. And that is what we hold on to. Irrespective of the things that are happening in our life, we hold on to the word of God. And we say, I know whom I have trusted. I know whom I have believed. I know that His words are yea and amen. I know that He's able to speak of things that are not and they become. I know that He's able to raise the dead back to life. That the Lord is good and His mercy endureth forever. So in today's sermon, we are looking at the God of hope. The God of hope. The God who holds onto His word. The Lord who sustains His promise by His own strength. But even as we delve deeper, let's do a quick review from the book of Lamentations and from the sermon we had last Sunday. From the book of Lamentations, we see clearly from the review the highlighting of the various themes from the various chapters. And from chapter 1, from destruction, chapter 2, to the anger of God, to chapter 3, Jeremiah's grief and hope. At the point of hope, we see how Jeremiah, who is acclaimed to be the traditional writer of the book of Lamentations, you see how in understanding of the character of God, he begins to believe that Israel will be saved. He begins to have hope that the situation will be turned around. And like I said, if the devil manages to kill your hope, he has killed your tomorrow. No matter what happens, sustain hope in your life. Sustain the word of God. And the only way you can sustain it is by reading and meditating on it. And we see through the array of emotions, we see a thread of hope. The thread of hope can be seen in the possibility of restoration. In Lamentations chapter 5, verse 21, it says, O Lord, restore us. The Lord has the ability to restore you after a fall. But it begins with genuine repentance. Genuine repentance is not just crying and then later going back to do the same thing again. Many of us have the ability of crying, Father, I will not do that again. Father, I'm sorry. But after 2 hours, we are back to doing the same thing. That is not repentance. That is false repentance. Genuine repentance comes with an understanding that I saw my fault. I saw that what I did was wrong. And the grace of God sustained me. And by the strength in God, I will hold on to Him and march forth in the sanctification that is in Christ Jesus. The beauty of repentance is knowing that beyond you feeling bad, you take stands, you take boundaries so that you don't repeat the same thing. The beauty of repentance is knowing that it's not about the tears, it's about the actions that follow the turnaround. Amen. And we see in the theme that the theme of Lamentations is sorrow over sin. And it reveals God's righteous judgment. That God is a righteous judge. God is a righteous judge. Turn to someone and tell the person, God is a righteous judge. And in the light of God's righteous judgment, we tend to talk about the judgment of God. That was our sermon for last Sunday, the judgment of God. And in that sermon, I highlighted the paragraph and I said, God is the righteous judge. His justice and holiness is perfect. God is perfect in his judgment. God will not make a mistake in judgment. The judgment we receive whilst we are on earth, and the judgment we receive when we stand before his great white, the judgment of eternity, where death and Hades are going to be cast into the lake of fire. God is just. God is righteous in his judgment. God is perfect in holiness. There is no sin in him. There is no mistake in him. So we can be rest assured that whatever we do in these mortal bodies, we shall receive the recompense for it. And I went on to write, he has authority over all creation. The reason why God is able to judge is because of the authority he has over all creation. God rewards righteousness and punishes wickedness in accordance with his divine law and moral order. In God's ability to judge righteously is a warning to the wicked and a promise of vindication and reward to the faithful. If you continue to the end, if you stand firm in obedience, if you continue pursuing faithfulness unto the Lord, you will see the reward of the Lord. In the book of Revelation, the Bible is so clear. It says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is in my hands, to give unto each one that which he has done. So in conclusion, I highlighted 4 points. Jerusalem disobeyed God and received the consequence for their disobedience, destruction by the Babylonians. The second point, they still saw hope in time of despair because God is true to his word and character. Let us be reminded that we will give account for every deed done in the body before Jesus Christ. There is still time to make it right. God is able to restore. And this is the journey and the beginning of understanding that God is a God of hope. When things go haywire in your life, be it as a result of your own actions, be it as a result of your own decisions, be it as a result of secret sin, be it as a result of your own wrong decisions, know that God still will not leave you as an orphan. Looking at the story of Samson, after through his own desires, falling into the hand of wicked people, he ended up having his eyes gouged out, having his hair shaved. And as he hung in between the two pillars, he looked up to God, and there God was. The beauty of knowing that God is more interested in saving you than you saving yourself should bring comfort to your heart. And this is the God of hope, that in every situation in your life, God is eager to reveal his glory if you genuinely go to him. So today we are touching on the God of hope. The God of hope. The God of hope. I summarize understanding on the God of hope in this paragraph. Hope in a time of despair is seen in the book of Lamentations as it highlights the importance of a deep trust in God's faithfulness, mercy, and God's ability to restore. The reason why we remain hopeful through every situation is because God is faithful. Turn to someone, tell the person, God is faithful. Shake the person by the shoulder, tell the person, your God is faithful. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter how far you have gone. This I proclaim to you, and this I pray you hold on to. No matter how dire the situation is, God is able to turn it around and make it work for your good. God is faithful to the very fact that once his word has spoken it, he will make sure his word will perform it. The Bible says, no single word that has left the mouth of the Lord will return to him void. The Lord is good and the Lord is faithful. And also, the Lord is merciful. You know, as Christians, we need to understand that we are very stubborn sometimes. We are very stubborn. And at the apex of sometimes our stubborn nature is when we lose the fear of God. And yet, we know that which is wrong, but yet, we still do that which is wrong. The fear of the Lord is the consistent awareness of God's presence, and that walking away from His presence ends in total damnation. So the fear of God, in essence, is not of God, knowing that to the wicked He is terrible, but to the believer, in His presence we are sustained. For in Him we move and live and have our being. The fear of the Lord is knowing that without God we are destroyed. The fear of the Lord is not thinking of the wrath because we are in Christ, but thinking of separation because we know that our only point of love is to abide. And in the sense where we move away from Him through disobedience, His mercy is sure. His mercy stands waiting, calling you to come back. No matter how far you've gone, He's still calling you, come back unto me. Come back unto me because there is no better place. Come back unto me. Come back unto me. And I will take that labor. I will take that yoke. Come back unto me. Just like the story of the prodigal son. We see clearly how the prodigal son goes and squanders his inheritance. And as he returns home, after coming back to his senses, his father still waits. And his father throws a huge party for the prodigal son. God is merciful. God is merciful. And God is able to restore. Whatever you have lost, if you come to the Lord in honesty and in truth, He is able to make you better than before. And mind you, I'm not talking about material gains. I'm talking about the place of peace. I'm talking about the place of understanding. I'm talking about the place of the revelation of the glory of God through your life. God is able to restore you to being the pinnacle of His glory in Christ Jesus. God is able to cause your life that brought you disgrace to bring glory to Him again. God specializes in taking the things that are worthless and making them filled with His glory. Surrender unto Him that which you feel has ended. Surrender unto Him that which weighs you down, and He is able to restore. I continue to write, from the emotions of grief, loss, and confusion experienced by the people of Judah, we see rays of hope that is anchored in the character and promises of God. The reason why we are hopeful, even in times of despair, is because of the character of God. It's because of His promises that He will not leave you nor forsake you. That He is by you, even through the thick and thin. That He will sustain you. That He will protect you. The Bible says, whatever thing that the canker worm, that the locust worm has destroyed, God is able to restore. If you genuinely, and the reason why I'm emphasizing on genuinely is because many a times we conflict the idea of going to the Lord in repentance to the emotions we feel when we are convicted by the Holy Spirit. Repentance may begin with emotions of conviction, but it must end in actions of glory. I'm going to say that again. Repentance may begin with emotions of conviction, but it must end with actions of glory. So through that, we see that even with every situation that you are going through, it is good to hold on to God. You have no better option of help than God. Is it your marriage? Is it your academics? Is it your family? Your best option is God. Is it your children? Your best option is God. The beauty of knowing that God is able to cause that which seemed scattered to reveal His glory should warm your heart and draw you closer to Him. When I was preparing the sermon, I paused and I sang the song. It's a Ghanaian song. And it says, Jesus Refrewo. Jesus is calling you. Jesus Refrewo. Jesus is calling you. Nya asenona. What is fault? What is broken? Na oyenuye. That is what He specializes in fixing. Jesus is calling you that come unto Him. What is the situation of your life? What is that thing that is eating you up? Come unto Him, all ye who heavy labor, and you will find rest in Him. Jesus is saying, I am the bread of life. Come unto me, and you will live. This truth beheld has the power to calm any heart within a storm of sorrow. The storms will come. But let your heart be grounded in God. The storms will rise, but let your heart be grounded in the character of God. God did not promise that the journey will be smooth without storms. There will be storms in your marriage. There will be storms in your academics. But remember, you have a Lord and Savior who has the power and ability to speak to the storm. He can speak to the storm. When life consumes you and it feels as though you are drowning, remember, your Lord and Savior walks on water. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Lamentations 3:24. And I echoed it in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. I'm going to say that again. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. In the light of trying to understand the God of hope through the book of Lamentations, I highlighted three main scriptures. The first scripture, hope in God's faithfulness. Lamentations chapter 3, 21 to 24. And I read, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. And those of you who know the song, this is where it came from. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never will come to an end. They are new. New every morning, great is
Great is his faithfulness. And because he is faithful and he knows our weakness, he renews his mercy and his grace in our life every morning. So the psalmist said, in the mornings I yearn to hear your voice, O my Lord, for you cometh with greetings and with strength. My wife asked me, darling, why do you insist on us praying and having quiet time every morning? And I said, all things being equal, it is the best time to receive of the Lord, even as you step out in the challenges for the day. God is faithful that even in the point of your disobedience, he still holds you and still leads you back onto repentance. But there's one part I want you to understand. He says, but this I call to mind. Someone say the mind. The mind. What you think about is important. In your time of distress, do not go and listen to some dangerous song. This is the end, I will die. No. What sort of songs are you listening to? And be careful the sort of things you allow into your heart. Especially in the point of chaos. Be careful. Guard your mind. When you are going through tribulations, when you are going through trials, let the word of God reign in your mind. And that is why memorization of scripture is important. Turn to someone, ask the person, how many scriptures have you memorized? Tell the person, John 3:16 is not part. Tell the person, John 10:30 is not part. How many scriptures are in you? How many scriptures in the face of the storm can you pour out of your heart? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in greener pastures. How many scriptures can you pour out in the face of the storm? What shall separate me from my Lord? Nothing, nothing above, nothing below, for the love of God encompasseth me. How many scriptures are in your heart? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into him and are saved. Yea, I enter into the name of the Lord. He has become my covering. How many scriptures do you know? And the devil is bamboozling you. You wake up from dreams and you are sweating, trembling with fear. But in the face of fear, speak scripture. Let scripture encompass your heart. The second verse, Lamentations 3:31-33. Hope in God's sovereignty and justice. For the Lord will not cast off forever. For though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. We need to understand that the plan and the will of God are revealed in scripture. We need to understand that who God says he is can clearly be seen through scripture. So in every situation, if you want to understand what God will do or the possibilities of action, we must refer to scripture, not our thoughts and our conscious actions. In essence, oh, the Lord, he will never answer my prayers again. I have messed up. My life is done. No. Where from that? Remember, the Spirit of God convicts, but the spirit of the devil condemns. God will not condemn you. He will convict you. And when he convicts you, he will cause you to run unto him. So he is sovereign in that his plans are laid forth. His will is not to destroy. His will is to save. Hope in future restoration. Lamentations chapter 5 verse 21. Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old. God has the ability to restore. God desires to restore. Go before him genuinely. Seek him whilst he may be found. And I say this in all honesty. Seek him whilst he may be found. A time will come when you will call on the name of the Lord and he will not hear you. A time will come when you stand before the judgment throne and mercy will give way for judgment. Call him whilst he is near. There is no salvation in death. When you die, judgment. So whilst you have breath, take the decision now. Hear the words of Jesus Christ to you today. Hear the words of Jesus Christ to you today. Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 26. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? The emphasis in Matthew chapter 6 is on the value of your life in Christ Jesus. And what Jesus is telling you is this, that in him you have value. And he will not leave you nor forsake you. Jesus is our bridegroom. He is the only bride who is forever faithful, who runs and chases us even in our iniquity. He is able to save to the uttermost. Be encouraged today. Be filled with hope that God is with you. And if you walk by his word, he will cause the situation to reveal his glory. In conclusion, I highlight, the Israelites, although disobedient, they knew their God. Turn to someone, ask the person, do you know your God? Do you know who God is? I encourage you, spend time reading the Bible. I encourage you, spend time on theology. Discipleship class is running. Join discipleship class. Get to know the mind of God. They did not accept their destructive fate in silence. They called out to God, believing in every promise of God. One of the major weapons of the enemy is causing you to shut up in silence. Sometimes you are going through problems and you realize you can't even pray. You can't even call unto the Lord. Silence is one of the greatest tools of the enemy. But the Bible is so clear. He has established power even in the mouth of babes. Let the fruit of your lips be filled with thanksgiving unto the Lord. Call unto the Lord and you shall be saved. Pray even in the midst of the storm. You may cry. You may be tired, but whatever you do, pray. It may look bad, but whatever you do, talk to the Lord. We must prioritize our seeking of the knowledge of God. Spend time seeking the Lord. Spend time reading His word. Spend time sitting down and learning. Your knowledge of God will shape your relations with God. I'm going to say that again. Your knowledge of God will shape your relation with God. And the final point, no matter what and even why we are going through, we must be fully convinced of God's ability to save us if we genuinely call on Him, repent, and wait on Him. God is good. God is good. Let's stand to our feet.